Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus. Tonight I welcome you to Hercules and the Space Gods, an ongoing exploration of the celestial forces that shaped, guided, and are still actively engaged with evolving life here on Gaia. Tonight I'm proud to bring you the Urantia Podcast with Nick Curto. Greetings and welcome, Nick. How are you?
Never better, Hercules. I've been looking forward to this particular show. This is the first podcast for the Urantia book of the new year. And so that makes it a very special podcast indeed. And as you know, we do one Urantia book podcast per month throughout the entire year. And that's always the fourth Saturday of each month. So looking forward to this. I don't know about you, but we just heard that we got one big wet Sunday coming up with rain morning, noon, and night. Have you heard that yet from the weather?
No, I've not. I've been actively engaged with things happening here locally, so I haven't had a chance to listen to the news. Tell me about it.
Well, they just said it could be drenching. The good news is that it's not going to be like 25, 35 degrees. It's more like 40, 45. So we're cutting a good break as far as the temperature goes. That's the good news. But the bad news is going to be quite wet. So just prepare accordingly.
Thank you very much, Nick. I'm looking forward to tonight's show. If you need me, just holler. I'll be here.
Thank you so much. To all our listeners out there on Blog Talk Radio Worldwide, a warm welcome to the Urantia Book with Nick Curto, a 60-minute live podcast program. I'm Nick Curto, your host. I personally first heard of the Urantia Book after I had attended every Sunday morning the All Souls Unitarian Church that's located in Manhattan's Upper East Side on Lexington Avenue and 80th Street. For a solid 2 years, I attended every Sunday that I was in town. And then the minister for the last reading on one particular Sunday, again, 2 years into going there, read a few paragraphs at the end of the service from a book titled The Urantia Book, which I had never heard of before. And it immediately and very deeply resonated to me. And that is a huge understatement. I felt that I had been hit by a cutting-edge spiritual truck, but in a very wonderful sort of way. It was incredibly powerful, a game-changing moment for me. I wanted to find out much more about the book that the minister had read, and it was a true masterwork right from the beginning in every way. And I had never experienced anything quite like it before. That's the truth. I was absolutely stunned by it. And I remember after everybody left the service, after it was over, I remained in the pew there for about 20 minutes because it really hit me that strongly. And I just wanted to also remember the name, that very funny name, that the title of the book, Urantia, U-R-A-N-T-I-A. And I repeated that all the way home when I was walking home that Sunday morning and got home and, of course, wrote it down and then did the research. A long story short, I researched it and soon found a wonderful Urantia Book study group in Manhattan's Soho area, and that was hosted at the time by my now very dear friends, Robin and Helene Jorgensen. And I have been studying the Urantia Book now for over 40 years and counting. I can't believe it has really been that long a time. Time flies. It has truly been an expansive, breathtaking experience to explore this inspiring, eye-opening, mind-expanding, and truly loving masterwork, which is called the Fifth Epical Revelation. Yes, the book goes very, very deep. The text introduces the word Urantia, U-R-A-N-T-I-A, as the name of our own planet, Earth, and states that its intent is to present enlarged concepts, advanced truth, and boy does it ever. The book unites religion, science, philosophy, history, in a unique way, unique certainly to any other book that's ever been presented, and it's claimed to be presented by celestial beings. Among other topics, the book discusses the origin and meaning of life, mankind's place in the universe, the relation between God and all people and other beings in the universe, and the entire life of Jesus, with a huge amount of new information that's not revealed in any other book, including the Bible, and any other works. You feel, as you're reading the life of Jesus, which is the fourth part of the Urantia book, that you were really there with him every step of the way. It's a big book, too. It's 2,098 pages, but do not let that discourage you at all. Believe me, it goes quick. I'm a longtime member of the Urantia Society of Greater New York, made up of Urantia book readers from New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, and other regions as well. And now they have the meetings on Zoom, so people from anywhere can join the society meetings. I've been the past president, vice president, outreach chair, among other positions throughout the years. And I'm currently working on the outreach committee team, chaired by Gary Deinstadt, an Emmy Award winner and awesome minister as well. Quite a wonderful man. The Urantia book has now been translated into 28 world languages, with many more on the way, which is a huge achievement. It is sold in better bookstores worldwide, and you may also read and even listen to it on the Internet. I have two particular websites to give you right now, so if you get a piece of paper and a pencil, I'll do it slowly so you can get them. And I totally recommend that at some point you take a listen. They're beautifully designed, and there's a huge amount of information in it. And again, you can listen to the entire book if you prefer, or you can read it. Okay, here goes. The first one is www.urantiabook.org. The second one is www.urantia.nyc. Please, when you get a moment, I think you'll find that very rewarding experience. Okay, let's get right to it. Tonight's podcast is my very first Urantia book program of the new year. As such, I want it to be a special and unique program. I had the idea of talking about what the Urantia book community is planning for the first part of the new year, 2024, and to get an idea of events that are now being planned. I'm hearing a background of a sound of some sort. I don't know what that is. I asked my dear friend, Sue Snyder Sikkim, president of the Urantia Book Fellowship, if she would come on my program tonight, and she happily agreed. Welcome. Welcome, Sue.
Thank you, Nick. What a wonderful introduction. Thank you for inviting me.
It's my pleasure. I'm so glad that you could make it tonight. And you put together a wonderful panel of community leaders from the Urantia Book community. They're planning some very exciting events for the new year in the months to come, and we want to talk about that. Mike Painter is a member of the General Council of the Urantia Book Fellowship. Welcome. He is the program chair, 2024 Summer Study Session being held in Kansas City Conference, and that's in July of 2024. Katrina, hope I'm getting this right, Gavin Heide, he's president of the Urantia Association of the United States. Katrina, tell me, what's the exact pronunciation? I want to get that correct.
That was close. Glavin Heide.
Okay.
There you go.
Thank you so much. And also, we have Michael, Zaire? Is that close?
That is correct.
Michael? Oh, good. Okay. Vice President, Urantia Association of the United States, Conference Chair, 2024 Annual Conference, and that's going to be in Baltimore, and that's coming fairly close. It's going to be in March of this coming year. So Sue, thank you again for assembling these wonderful people. And let's start right off. Sue, do you have a general question for them?
Well, I always love how you introduce the Urantia book when you start this program. I think it gives such a beautiful picture of what awaits people who are curious enough to look into it. My dad used to say the Urantia book is like the ocean. There's a depth for everyone. You know, you can wade in the shallows or go way out into the deep water and then come back to the shallows. So one of the most profound gospels that is in the Urantia book is the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of mankind. And I take that seriously, and I try to think of each and every person I meet and know, and even those I haven't met as my brothers and sisters in our long universe careers. And so I wanted to invite some of the people who I know are working so hard on projects and events coming up this year from our sister associations and from within my organization to share the air. You know, even though we all wear different hats and sometimes float around different organizations, we're on the same mission, and that is to really help people become aware of what awaits them in the Urantia book. And if they're interested, help them find the resources and direction that they might find helpful, whether it's talking to another person or finding more to read or becoming more engaged or involved or even becoming a volunteer. So I've invited my friends, Katrina Glavin-Heise from the Urantia Association International. She's the president of the U.S. Association. Michael Zayer is the vice president, and he's chairing their conference in Baltimore. And then my own Michael Painter, who is chairing our conference in Kansas City this July. But I thought it would just be too boring to talk to me for an hour, so it's really good fun to have everybody participate and share some of what they're working on. But I thought your initial introduction where you talked about how you got hit over the head with the Urantia book is such a great story. And I thought maybe that would be a good introduction just so your listeners know who's talking tonight and where we're coming from. Maybe we can have everybody give us a little bit of background on how they found the Urantia book.
Oh, that would be terrific.
Katrina, do you want to go first?
That'd be lovely. Thank you, Sue. And Sue, thank you for inviting us to this this wonderful radio blog. This is a great idea. So I've been reading the Urantia book almost 40 years, and I had been living in Denver, Colorado, and I'm talking to a friend, and I'm saying how I was just not satisfied with traditional religion, so I pretty much gave up on it and created the Katrina Glavin religion. And I talked to God, and, you know, I was pretty satisfied, and my friend said, you should read the Urantia book. You would really like it. But it took me about 3 years before I actually got my hands on one. And that occurred when I was at I had moved to Houston, and I was at a party, and my friend, whose house it was, had the Urantia book on her bedside table or a side table somewhere. And I picked it up, clutched it to my chest, and I couldn't let go of it for the rest of the night. And she pried it out of my arms as she asked me to leave. The next morning, I went to a bookstore and got my own copy, and I have been reading it ever since. It's
wonderful
incredible.
Story. Thank you for that. Wow.
Now,
Sue, you
Nick,
go to another person?
Yeah. Go ahead, Katrina.
That'd be good. No, I was just going to say, I am, in addition to currently being the president for the national organization of Urantia Association, in addition, I am the president of Lone Star Urantia Association, which is the Texas version. And then I'm also a retired United States Air Force officer, and I was a nurse in the Air Force. And so I had found the Urantia book before I joined the Air Force, but I never found a study group until I moved to San Antonio, Texas. And that was my first study group, because every place I got stationed, there were no study groups. So since about 2012, I have been very, very involved in all levels of the Urantia world.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, you were wearing a lot of different hats there, a lot of different hats, and that's a wonderful story too. And it's so unique. Everybody has such a different story to tell about how they happened to come upon the book, or how the book happened to come upon them. Really interesting
it's
stuff.
True.
Thank
yes.
you so much.
Nick, do you mind if I just jump in and add something about study groups? Because I think what Katrina mentioned is still, even though COVID changed everything and Zoom has changed everything, and people can find virtual study groups even if there isn't one near you, it's still a challenge. Sometimes people find the Urantia book and they just want to talk to anybody else who's ever read it or even read part of it. And you can find some of those people on Facebook. But if you really want to have an in-depth conversation, it's helpful to be able to find some people you can talk to who are kind of on the same page, no pun intended.
Mm-hmm.
So all the study groups, I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds of them all over the world, and they have a different flavor. I mean, each one has kind of a different vibe. So if any of your listeners are looking for a study group, or maybe they were part of one and didn't care for it, I would say keep looking, or check some of the virtual groups that are now listed in the study group directory, which I think is urantiastudygroup.org. I'll find it exactly. But I just wanted to encourage people to use that channel if it's available to them.
Sue, I couldn't agree with you more. And when I go on a trip, I look to see if there's any study groups in the area where I'm going to vacation. And I have had some wonderful experiences by doing that. And you're right when you say they are all so interesting and different, and there's a different flavor to each one of them. I've been in study groups in Hawaii. I've been to study groups in Texas and a few other places, and it's been always a wonderful experience. So absolutely, what you're saying is true, and I would recommend that anybody who wants to get a taste of the Urantia book, find a study group. They're welcoming, and the people there, you'll feel like you're with family immediately. Absolutely.
Yeah. And there's no dumb questions. It's urantiastudygroup.org. And you'll find hundreds and hundreds listed. And you'll see the ones that meet virtually. So even if you live in Timbuktu, you know, you can dial in and kind of check people out even if it's a local group, you can still check people out before you go.
Is there really a place called Timbuktu?
I think there is. I think it's in Nepal.
We don't know. We don't know. But if there is, I guarantee you there's a study group there. Absolutely.
There should be.
Okay, how about someone else?
How about
yeah.
Michael?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, how about one of the Michaels? We'll do Michael Zayer because he's also with Urantia Association.
Great.
Hi, Michael Zayer. And Michael Painter, I'll just call you Mike so we don't get confused.
Sounds good.
All right,
hi.
Michael Zayer.
Yes, and this is Michael Zayer speaking now, and I got the Urantia book from my parents. My sister and I were still fairly young. We were 10, 12-ish range. When we started, we knew our parents were actively involved in the organization. They had attended a couple conferences, and we had questions about what they were doing and why. We knew it was important to them. There is a prequel to this story, though, which is probably more interesting than my own, which is they found the Urantia book in Ghana. They had decided to do mission work and originally were going to be going to Puerto Rico. My mother as a teacher, my father as a physician. My mother had studied Spanish as part of preparing to go to Puerto Rico. They grew up in religious families. They They felt there was something more they were looking for, and they started praying, saying, you know, what more is there? Where can we get our questions answered? And all of a sudden, the Puerto Rico opportunity went away, and a spot opened up in Ghana, and they went there in, you know, a small place where there happened to be a Rancho book reader who loaned my father a copy of the book and just said, here, read this. You might like it. But fast forward again to my story. You know, my sister and I asked my parents about it. We had questions about why we were in the universe, who we were, what were we doing. I had read parts of the Bible already by then, and while there's much that's true, beautiful, and good in it, I still had questions. You know, and my parents started talking about the Arantia book and the image, the insight into God and the universe and who we are that they had gotten from that. We started reading it together as a family shortly thereafter, and I have been reading and studying and learning and doing my best to share ever since.
That's a wonderful story. No one has ever said anything quite like that before. That's a great story. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Thank you, Michael. You know, I will jump in here and go next with a little bit of my own background, because Michael's parents showed such wisdom by waiting for their kids to ask questions, whereas my parents, who are the ones who introduced me to the Arantia book too, took a different approach. You know, they really tried to educate us and I wouldn't say indoctrinate, but almost hit us all over the head. And I'm one of seven children, so we had a busy household, and my parents tried to set up a little school so we could all learn about the Arantia book. And as you can imagine, there were rebels among us. So they found the Arantia book in Greenwich Village, and they had been looking for something. They were from religiously diverse backgrounds. My mother was raised in a Jewish family during World War II. So when the war started, they put her in a convent, and she spent about 7 years with the nuns until they could get out of Europe. So when she got to New York, she had a hodgepodge of religious background. And my father was raised by holy rollers, is what he called them, Southern Baptists and atheists. So when these two met, they really didn't have any idea, you know, what kind of religion they were looking for. They just knew that they wanted some answers. And they were going to seances and, you know, card readers and in occult bookstores. And I think they were they had rejected all of those things. And one day, I think somebody told my father to go pick up this Arantia book that was sitting in a dusty corner near a garbage can where he worked.
Oh.
And so, you know, and like everybody, he felt like everything he had been looking for was in there. But he was a skeptic. He was a skeptical searcher. And I remember him saying the first thing he thought when he started reading it is, who is speaking to me with such authority? And his second question as he was reading it was, when are they going to ask me for money? So as he... But that was just some of his church background. So he was resistant. But as he read more and more of it, he realized, you know, this is a picture of the universe that's fair to every human being, every creature, every member of God's creation. And he became a believer. And then, of course, in his enthusiasm, he tried to get all of us to be believers too. But it wasn't until I was about 14 years old that I, in earnest, started reading the book on my own. And it was when a friend of mine drowned. And I was just inconsolable. And everything we were hearing in the church service at his funeral was such incomplete information to me. I just wanted to know where was he, and was that it? You know, 14 years and that's it. So I really dug in at that point and never looked back. But it's just been almost a lifelong companion. And that was, 45 years ago. So... Michael Painter, how about you, sir?
Okay, well, I came out of a Roman Catholic all-boys high school, didn't know what I was going to do, so I ran off and joined the service, ended up in the Marines for 4 years and didn't know at the time, but ended up in Vietnam in combat for a year. And when I got done with all that, I just had a lot of questions. And, you know, wasn't very satisfied. So I started college trying to take sociology, psychology, religious studies, philosophy, you know, searching for some answers. And honestly, after a couple of years, I realized that the professors had more knowledge than I did, but they didn't have the kind of wisdom and truth that I was really looking for. So I continued school, but meanwhile I turned to Eastern religions, New Age movements, you name it. I was getting involved. I would take the cream off the top, but eventually I would find things about it that I just couldn't quite believe. So one day I was with two other guys renting a house while we were going to college, and one of my roommates walked in with a book in his hand, and in this incredibly disdainful tone, he says, "Here, you like stuff like this." Well, you know, I picked it up and I started reading here and there, and I was just really, really drawn to it. So I had a 2-week semester break, and I said, "Well, I'm going to see what's wrong with this book." And I sat down and read, not trying to stop to understand, but just to go through the first 3 parts, there's 4 parts to it, and see what was wrong with it. And after I did that, I read 7-8 hours a day for about 2 weeks, and I was convinced that no group of humans could have been that reasonable, that logical, and that spiritually insightful. So then my next step was to run up to Chicago, the international headquarters, and see who was getting rich, who was, you know, who had the flying carpets, all of the stuff. And I met just normal people who said, "Well, if you like this, come and join us. And if you don't, Godspeed." And I just found that whole approach of no pressure and all that very, very reassuring. So I started reading. And the thing I say to people is that when I first started reading, it made my eyes light up. It was like this inner resonance of truth within me, as well as, of course, making great sense to my mind. It had this ring of truth to it within me. And after 50 years of reading, it still makes my eyes light up, and it still seems to have that ring of truth. So it changed my life. It has helped me truly come to understand that I am truly a child of God, and that brings me so much peace to know that I'm a child of a loving God. It just is incredible, and I wouldn't trade that for anything.
Awesome.
Michael, again, thank you so much. Yeah, I want to just add that, Michael, I was raised Roman Catholic. One of my aunts on my Italian side was a nun in the Catholic Church for her whole life. And at one point around 17, 18, I considered being a priest. I thought maybe mm-hmm. this is the way to go. And so I was, but then there were things that were coming up during the masses and so forth that were bothering me. The idea of a God-fearing person, I thought, wait a second, fearing? What has that got to do with a loving God? I believe in a totally, limitlessly loving God. So when they were saying God-fearing, they're God-fearing people, that just didn't quite ring well with me. Like, what is that about? And then the idea of the atonement, and that God sent his son to be crucified and suffer on a cross for our sins. That just, no matter how I tried to go with that, it didn't make sense at all. And so I had some big questions on that, and they weren't being answered, and it was bothering me. So when I went to college, I went to an art school called the Massachusetts College of Art and Design in Boston, one of their finest schools. I graduated, came to New York, and I was seeking, like you are, guys, you are seeking spiritual enlightenment, what other things are out there? And I was befriending people of various religions and spiritual callings to see what that was about, see if that fit with me. And that's what I was doing in New York City. It was the right place at the right time. And that's, again, when you already told the story about how all of a sudden this incredible book came into my life. And it was something like I always knew something was out there, and I didn't know the name or how to find it, but I was on a search like you all are. And then whammo, this came up, and it was just like, this is better than Christmas. This is just all the answers are there, and it wasn't what I was. All the things I was told that I was against weren't in this book. In fact, it was quite the opposite. And it went, oh, whoa! To this day, like you're saying, the excitement of reading this book is as at that level. It's still there, absolutely.
That's awesome. That's a great story. Nick, I don't want to step on into your space as host, but I can keep asking questions if you want, because I've got more.
Right. Well, thank you. I would love that. Absolutely. I love a co-host, and you're a good one, really excellent one. And what I wanted to ask was a little bit about what you're working on for the new year as far as the planned events, like just anything you can. I know it's early on in the planning stage, but a little bit more about what's being planned, and are people who are brand new readers welcome to that, or if people just want to explore a little bit, they're not readers yet, can they come to these events? Just a little bit more about each one of those things you're working on.
If you want, I can start, because I wanted both Michaels to talk about the conferences coming up in depth, because they're so involved in organizing and getting them to become a reality. But yes, they are absolutely open to everybody. Anybody who's even curious, there's no secret handshake or, you know, hazing. Nobody will be indoctrinated. It's we respect the free will of every creature to find their path and the speed at which they want to take it. So, and you know, the Urantia book may not be for everyone. I know people who have looked at it and rejected it, and that's okay for whatever reason. You know, this isn't the Crusades. This isn't a forced march. But we want people to be aware that it's out there. And if it's appealing to them and interesting and they want to study alongside us and just share our excitement, we have all kinds of things going on. So since you mentioned that some of your listeners may not have looked at or read any of the Urantia book, I wanted to just mention that both Katrina's organization and mine have websites that are replete with information. The fellowships is called urantiabook.org, and on it you can find just a wealth of resources, all free, education materials and little sections on different areas of interest. You can expand. If you read about something and want to know more about it, you can find more. There's lots and lots of free downloads. There's lots of charts and things that might make understanding some of the concepts a little bit easier. There's a huge resource of publications. I mean, some of the articles that people have written over the years are just brilliant. So there's just a big library and a lot to explore. And then there's links to all kinds of things. If you want to connect with other people and find other folks to talk to, you can find the link to the study group directory. You can find the link to our conferences, but you can also find a link to a mentors page if you want to just have a one-on-one with somebody that really knows the book really well. There's blogs. There's like you mentioned, Nick, the society, the New York Society, and Katrina mentioned the Lone Star Association. There's regional groups all over the country and all over the world who would welcome you with any questions that you have. So all of those things you can usually find through our website. And any interest that anybody expresses, you know, we'll do what we can to either answer the questions or more likely just invite you to walk with us in whatever that spiritual journey is. and we'll learn together. So we have some broad kind of general initiatives that we will continue to do at the fellowship. One of those is something called Pipeline of Light. Pipeline of Light is a service we provide where we will give anybody who wants a Urantia book and maybe can't afford to buy one a free book. All they have to do is just send in a request and we'll send you a book. We send those all over the world. At this point, I think we've sent about 15,000 free books in the last 15 or 20 years. We have a grant program called the Second Miler Grant Program for people who want to go a little bit deeper and maybe have thought of a creative way, like you were talking about the videos you've created, Nick. People find creative ways to talk about the concepts in the Urantia book. And we've funded some of those, you know, not huge grants, but, you know, grants for individuals who have an idea for something. It could be music, it could be a video, it could be a little book or booklet or, you know, a speech they're working on. So you can apply for those grants on our website. There's also a grant section specifically for women because the Urantia book does talk about how Jesus elevated women from where they were at the time, 2,000 years ago, to equals, to spiritual equals. And so to the degree that we can foster and encourage women to kind of take up that mantle and step into their role as equally able spiritual leaders and teachers, we have a grant program to encourage women to do that and, you know, lead their own retreats and things like that. And all kinds of things that you can find on our website and also Urantia-Association.org. Both of the service organizations have lots of resources. I also wanted, I guess the Baltimore conference for the association is coming up sooner. That's in March. Michael Zayer, do you want to talk a little bit about that? What people can expect?
Yep. Yes, thank you. So that is starting on March 28th, and it is in Baltimore. It is being held at the Maritime Conference Center. It's quite close to the Baltimore-Washington International Airport, and there's a shuttle for easily getting, you know, from the airport to the conference center. The topic is nature and nurture of the soul. Now, those of you who have started reading the Urantia book may have noticed the soul is interwoven through a lot of the book, but it's, the information is spread out in a lot of places. So we decided to do a conference studying specifically the soul. We have looked at all of the references to the soul within the Urantia book. There are quite a number of them. We categorized them into their 8 categories. 4 on the nature of the soul, and 4 on the nurture of the soul. So that will be, we'll spend one day, Friday will be nature of the soul, Saturday will be nurture of the soul. Sunday,
Michael, I'm sorry to interrupt. Can you give the dates of the conference so people who are interested can make a note?
Yes, it starts on March 28th, and then it ends on March 31, which is Easter. So on Friday, we study the nature of the soul, Saturday, the nurture of the soul, and then Sunday, which is Easter, we'll have a worship and remembrance. And we're focusing on sort of shared learning in this. So a lot of the conference is dedicated to group discussion. And as mentioned before, everyone is welcome. Whether you've been reading a long time or not, we welcome everybody to come and join us and discuss. We've provided a list of readings on our conference website, which we'll mention later. But you're welcome to come join us and study on the soul.
Excellent. And is there a hotel involved? And is there a website that people can access to get a little more particulars about the cost and so forth? Is that done yet, or is that still early?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Maritime Conference Center has hotel rooms. And I will give you our website where you can get all the details about the conference and how to register. And I'll say it and then spell it out for anyone listening. It's uaus.urantia-association.org. So uaus.urantia-association.org. And once you're on that page, click on events on the menu.
That's great. You know, I also wanted to let your listeners know, Nick, that at these conferences, these conferences are usually, you know, between 1 and 300 people. It's not 10 people, but it's not 1,000. So you won't get lost, but you won't be in a spotlight either. You know, people can really
right.
come and just mingle. And there's usually like a keynote speaker and then the smaller workshops and breakouts. And it's really pretty comfortable.
It sounds very practical and very, very welcoming. So that sounds fine.
Michael, would you tell them about how the meals are handled that once and how they would have to register for both items?
Yeah, so it is being held at a conference center, but you register for the conference and for your room separately. With your staying with your at the room at the conference center, you get your breakfast and dinner included with that. Registering for the conference gets you your lunch. There are details on our website, and you can call the conference center and get information about what is and isn't included with your room. I also want to add we have a children's program as well for children up through teens with a number of activities planned. And we have entertainment and music each of the evenings. So we're wanting to make this a really enjoyable, joyous time for people to get together and talk and share and as I said, and study.
Yep, that's great.
And this is Katrina, and there's another element to it. This is, as Michael said, it is Easter, and there will be a little sunrise Easter event. But it's also the cherry blossom season in Washington, D.C. And we've timed
Ooh.
It for it is that it's going to be the peak cherry blossom season. So either before or after the conference, if you have a chance to visit Washington, D.C., you'll have that opportunity too.
That sounds amazing. Wonderful timing on that. Good going, guys.
You know, before I ask Michael Painter to talk about our conference in July, I will mention there's an event one of our members is coordinating right after the Baltimore conference, which is the full solar eclipse that's happening on April 8th. And she has a website called twoeclipses.com. It's the number 2eclipses.com because April 8th falls over the period of time that the Urantia book tells us Jesus was in the tomb and is then that the time of this eclipse, it'll be within hours of his, you know, the anniversary of his resurrection. But interestingly, in 2017, there was another solar eclipse that fell on his birthday. So there's people who are wondering about the meaning of this. You know, one eclipse falls on his birthday, one eclipse falls on his resurrection. You know, what does that mean? So if people are curious about this kind of thing, I would suggest you visit twoeclipses.com, and they're having multiple events around the country on the 8th of April.
And, Sue, this is Katrina, yeah. And in San Antonio, both the eclipse last fall and this eclipse and the one in 17 all covered San Antonio. It was,
mm-hmm.
It's been amazing. And so
yeah.
We've had events at my house, and yes, we've had regional conferences at my house,
mm-hmm.
And we're going to also have an event on the 8th here back in San Antonio.
Wonderful.
So,
yeah, that's you've been in the path of totality, and I think they're having
yes.
a live broadcast from this place called the Jefferson Memorial Cross right outside of Paducah, Kentucky, which is the intersection of the two paths of totality. So it's kind of an interesting website. You can get more information on the background and see some of the maps and stuff. But I want to make sure Michael Painter has a chance to talk about the Kansas City conference too.
Absolutely. Michael, please take a stand.
Okay. So this conference is being put on by the Urantia Book Fellowship. And what we do is every 3 years we hold a big international conference and people from around the world come. And last summer we had it in Oak Brook, Illinois. Oak Brook's kind of a suburb of the Chicago area. And then in the other 2 years, we do what's called SSS, the Summer Study Session. And it's a smaller conference, and we focus more on the idea, the teachings of the book itself. The theme this year is going to be really teaching or sharing the Urantia book. So the conferences and the workshops, there'll be plenary speakers. The workshops will be about how do you describe this book to somebody when they say, well, what is this book and who wrote it and all of those kinds of things. And then we'll go into talking about study groups. You know, study groups are such an important part of what we do. How do you have an effective study group, and what's the best way to do those things? And then we're going to have workshops on how do you present this book to groups, and then more on how do you present this book to individuals, a friend, a family member, somebody you meet just passing by on the street. So all of these kinds of things are going to be part of the theme of what we're going to be doing there. That's going to be held at the Unity Center. This is the international headquarters of the Unity Church. It's about in Lee's Summit, Missouri, about 30-40 minutes south of Kansas City, Missouri. It's a beautiful, beautiful retreat center. It has a beautiful chapel, classrooms. We're going to cater the food. It's got fountains, rose gardens, a labyrinth. It's just a beautiful grounds with walking trails and all kinds of neat things. So the setting is going to be just, I think, a very spiritual and a very beautiful kind of setting for us. The dates are July 24 through 27, which is a Wednesday night through Saturday noon, again this summer. We don't have a registration packet ready yet. It should be ready by mid-February. So if you go to our website, which is the urantiabook.org, the one that Nick said earlier, you'll be able to find information. Again, give us till probably about the second or third week of February, and you'll be able to find all of the registration information there. But coming to a conference and just being around other people who are searching and who, you know, are open to all of these things, it's just it's an incredible experience. So if you have a chance, I really highly, highly recommend it. Sometimes I think you really know something about somebody's thinking and what they're believing in, you know, by the people who are involved. And I think it's a really good way to kind of test the waters of seeing if this is an organization, or in this case, this is a book. You know, we're not a church. We're not a religion. So we do these study groups. We do conferences, and there's nobody saying what exactly something means. We don't have priests, ministers, gurus, imams, anything of that nature. So it's just a very open discussion format, and we allow a lot of time for dinner, lunch, so that people have plenty of time to socialize and get to know people. And then, of course, like Michael was saying, there's always some great music, and usually we do some skits and do some fun things in the evening. So I think you would find it to be a wonderful experience. So I really highly recommend, if you can, come and join us.
I hate to interrupt at this point, but we have around 10 more minutes left, and I know it's good for everybody to share their contact information.
Is that Hercules?
Oh, thank you very much, Hercules.
Yeah.
Sue, I got to tell you, Sue, this has been a lot of good news. a lot of good news, and we need good news more than ever. So this is terrific, terrific plans going on, very exciting stuff here. Now, as my producer just said, we have 10 more minutes, so if you want to give contact information, go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask, because I think we can do this without using up all the minutes, is I did want to ask Katrina if she wanted to talk kind of broadly a little bit about what the Urantia Association is planning for the year besides the conference, or if there's anything else that we might have skipped over too fast. I know she can do it in 2 minutes.
Okay.
It's really not going to be a whole lot because our focus has been our conference setting this up. I do have some regional activities, but I don't have specific dates on them at the moment. Texas is going to be doing a regional event, as is the Greater Lakes Michigan Urantia Association. If you go to our website for the Urantia Association of the United States, and Michael put that, I'm going to ask him to say that website again, you can find the events, and they will be posted there.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you, Katrina.
So is there anything else before we do the...
I wanted to thank Mike and Michael because putting on even a regional conference is a lot of work. They're coordinating a lot of volunteers and a lot of moving parts, and I just want to publicly give them some love and appreciation. They're just doing a tremendous service by being the chair and kind of wearing the mantle of responsibility. So thank you both. A lot of people benefit by your hard work.
Absolutely.
My pleasure.
Absolutely. Good going, guys.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Yeah,
it's a joy to work together.
Sorry, Mike.
It's a joy to work together with sisters and brothers in service of our Father.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So anything else now?
No, I was thinking that rather than give a lot of long email addresses, maybe I know on our website you can always do contact us. And if anybody has a question or follow-up, they can say, hey, I heard Sue or I heard Mike Painter talking on the radio. And that's just urantiabook.org and contact us. I mean, there's a lot of links there, but you can get a hold of me or Michael Painter through that method. That might be the easiest.
Also, it's my custom on my program to give my personal email address. And if anybody has a comment or question, please do contact me through my email. And if you want to direct it to one of our guests tonight, just let me know who it is and I'll direct it to them. So here we go. I'm going to give you my my email address, which is, I'm going to repeat it too. So here we go. NICKNYNY1, and that's the numeral 1, at gmail.com. I'm going to repeat it, NICKNYNY1 at gmail.com. And I certainly welcome your comments or your questions. Please do feel free to contact me. Well, this has been a wonderful program, a lot of beautiful planning taking place here that's going to be give joy to a lot of people and to further the Urantia book and all the treasures that the Urantia book has to offer. Sue, Mike, Katrina, Michael, my heartfelt thanks to you all for being on my podcast program with me tonight. It was a true pleasure. And I want to let you know that you're all welcome back anytime. We could do another program later in the year. That would be lovely.
Nick, thank you so much.
Thank
you. This is so generous of you.
Thank you, Nick. It's been a pleasure to be here.
Total my pleasure. Total my pleasure. And I really enjoyed the program tonight. Now, Hercules, how much more time do I have?
You have 5 minutes.
5 minutes, okay. One thing that I'm doing right now as an outreach project is I have a store the big Target store moved in on my block here in New York City. And as you know, they have these big bags, and people are taking them out, and the streets are covered. People are taking them in. And I have a small Urantia bag that I got about 10 years ago from a conference. And so about 6 months ago, I started, it's not more than about a foot by a foot, but I started toting it around when I had something to carry. And a lot of people are very, very curious about where you go shopping. And I've seen many people looking at this little tiny Urantia book bag. And trying to decide what it was exactly. So the outreach group here in New York took that idea up, and we've now designed a new logo, which will simply be an easy way to spot the words, the Urantia book, and also the website, and a sentence about the book, a very quick sentence, because it's just split-second stuff. So we're now in the process of going to the next step of trying to find a bag manufacturer, and then hopefully your Urantia book people from all over the world can get these tote bags, and when they go shopping, use them and publicize the Urantia book. And we're going to try to do it in a few different languages also for different countries.
Wow.
So that's very exciting, and that is happening right now. I wanted to just share that with you guys.
That's really cool. You know, I heard that the... I can't wait. I heard the Chinese translation is possibly going to be ready this year. So that would be a really fun way to broadcast the latest, newest translation.
Yeah, absolutely. And people do read tote bags. Believe me, they do. I see people staring, trying to understand what it is. Okay, so much love to you all. The Urantia book with Nikurto, I want to wish you all an enlightened life journey. Till next time, please explore the deep wisdom, the limitless love contained in the Urantia book. Stay safe and be very, very kind to one another. Much love to all our listeners and to everyone on this beautiful planet and beyond. Till next time, good night, good night, good night.